Hi, and welcome to the Webster University Geneva podcast. I'm Juliana Sandholm-Bark, founder of Meet the Artist, a public lecture series during which visual artists are invited to talk about their work and their creative process. Last year, I hosted 12 artist lectures and podcasts and organized a few exhibitions as part of this lecture series, and we've just started a new season last month. This is the third of 10 episodes we'll be recording until May 2019. For more details about the lineup of speakers, please visit our page through the link wcci.webster.ch/events/meet_the_artist. Our guest today is the Swiss product and media designer Laura Couteau-Rosado. It's so good to have you with us, Laura.
Thank you, Juliana. I'm very happy to be there.
So my first question is always, it's always kind of starts in the same way, this conversation, because I feel like I want to go back and figure out the origins, you know, the moment where you decided, oh, I'm going to be, you know, an artist, a visual artist, a designer. You know, how did it all start? Can you tell us a little bit about how that was? Did you always know you were going to become a designer?
Good question. I don't know why, but when I was a kid, when my parents or friends of my parents asked what kind of job I want to do in the future, I was always answering that I would like to be an artist. But at this time, I didn't know what it really meant. So that's really, really strange that, you know, I will always, you know, since I was a child to be an artist, because maybe, you know, I was drawing a lot. So I heard that, you know, people say that I am an artist, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's very different when you grow up, when you became a teenager, and after you start your high studies. So actually everything changed when I leave my country, Morocco. So I decided to start studies, art studies in South France. And it was not easy in the beginning to really learn about art history and understand that I really wanted to practice and to learn about what is art practice and how I managed to create my own path and my own approach about creation. But here I am. I realized that when I was in the art school that I was really interested in technology. As I said before, the technology had a growing influence in creative practice 10 years ago with the influence of digital communication and technology in our everyday life, but also in the emergence of open source device that allows artists to prototype without being engineer. So I was really interested to go further and to learn, you know, how I can use technology, because for me it opened new perspective. And yes, so when I finished the art school in the design department in France, I moved to Geneva to make this one of the first master that combine technology and design, that is media design master at head. So it's changed, you know, it's really, you know, at this time it was in 2011 when I started the master. So it was really the starting point of my practice now, really, because it's really, you know, give me the key about how to combine technology in a creative process, how to use it, what does it mean, how can you deal with many kind of technological medium, how you play with it. Yes, so after the master I really, you know, continue this this approach of combining different environment, different disciplines like art, but mixing with design, and in discussion, in dialogue with technology, and now also with fundamental science. Yes.
And you were saying to me before that you were one of the first students who was doing this master's in media design at the head. So as one of the first to enroll, right? And first to graduate also from the head. And you were saying how there's been an evolution in the way the subject has been taught, how design has been framed and taught in the school. So can you sort of summarize, say a few things about how the pedagogical approach to teaching changed since when you were a student to now? Is it possible to say a few things about how things changed?
Yes, I think that as it's first of all, it's a new kind of discipline, what is called media design, interaction design. So it's new. And also it's depending on technology, because it's directly related to interfaces, to digital technologies, and the emergence of other commercial or non-commercial technologies around us. So what is maybe different in this master is it has a deep relationship with technology. And that's also a weakness, because when, for example, there is a trend like VR, trend of VR and AI. Mm-hmm. I don't say that it's wrong, that they're not good technologies, but they are interesting. Mm-hmm. Everything is interesting indeed. It depends the way you use it. It's the case for everything, even with technology.
Yeah.
So when you have such, you know, public and trend like VR and virtual reality, and people that just want to have virtual reality experiences,
mm-hmm.
It could be a trap, because you really need to develop a statement and to have an opinion about that, you mm-hmm. know. Why we should now with our student make only a VR experience and teaching them what is VR design, and because, you know, if in 2 years, you know, the technology will change, you know, they will be lost, because they just, you know, learn about one technology and deal with it. But they didn't really learn about the core of it, you know. Why we are, you know, trying to invent and create devices and new interaction with technologies. Mm-hmm. I think that's the question, you know.
Right.
So that's, you know, what we are trying also to maybe to focus, you know. I'm not alone, you know, we are a team. I'm teaching assistant and we have a coordinator and Alexia Mathieu, and also Félicien Goguet is working. So together, you know, we try to teach and, you know, to, and with other teachers as well, to make the student aware about, you know, be aware of about the trend, you know, about the technology, and have a real, you know, a deep opinion and really research, you know, why they involve in this master, what they really would like to investigate, and how they will use it for their own practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I don't know if I answer well these questions, but...
Well, I mean, when you started, there was no such thing as VR.
No, right? Totally not.
And now it's much more omnipresent. It's sort of unavoidable, I imagine.
Yes, kind of. And
are many students interested in learning about these AI and VR as two examples that you gave?
Depends of the student we have, because we have a large range of students, so we cannot really, they are not all, you know, the same.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's the kind of maybe the how to say, the program maybe people would like to have when they have a look on the on the program. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but anyway, you know what is interesting is that media design is related to technology. Mm-hmm. So there is a relation, and we should, you know, really think about, you know, what is the strength of this connection and what is the weakness and how we can deal it and really go beyond that and create a really strong practice and learn, you know, the student to have their own approach.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to have their own questions to answer them, and really to know where they really would like to work after.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can, you know, we can teach student to be a researcher, but also we can teach them to be interaction designer, and they can work, you know, in many environments. They can work in the company studio and studio's environment.
Mm-hmm.
That is really pragmatic and applied, but also they can work in another kind of more another environment, such as, for example, theater.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And also they could be independent designer and develop their own device, their mm-hmm. own product.
Right.
Yeah.
So many possibilities.
Many, many possibilities, mm-hmm. yeah.
I was just thinking when you were talking about Argenève, actually, and there was Hans Ulrich Obrist who came to give a talk on art and technology.
Oh, okay.
So I was in the audience, and he was telling people about his initiatives that he was doing through the Serpentine Galleries mm-hmm. in London, and people using blockchain, for example, as a medium.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you? Blockchain as a medium? Not blockchain to, in you know, to track transactions for art market purposes, but really blockchain as a medium. Does that sort of can yes. you explain maybe a little bit? Because I was intrigued by that when he said that.
Actually, I'm not really focused on blockchain,
mm-hmm.
so I can give another example,
mm-hmm.
but. What is interesting in artistic practice is that you can really take one thing or one technology
mm-hmm.
in its context and, you know, move it from to another context. And that's interesting, mm-hmm. you know, that's and that is interesting in a way when mm-hmm. you take everything from one context and you put it in another context, something happening. And
right.
it's the same, you know, in technology, whatever technology you use, you mm-hmm. know, a controversial, non-controversial, I don't know. So it's the same for blockchain, it's the same for AI,
mm-hmm.
machine learning, it's the mm-hmm. same for VR, it's the same for everything. You put something that was developed in the context and you take it and you bring it in another context and it has another meaning, it has another dimension suddenly mm-hmm. and it carries something else because mm-hmm. you know you move from one environment to another, something that's coming from a first environment to a new environment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of kind of methodology we can use as artists, very efficient in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And for technology also it's a very good good process
mm-hmm.
to know, you know, the context where a technology was developed and understand it and the you know what is behind and the challenge and the issue, take it and move it to another context in order to emphasize some issues or mm-hmm. maybe to move and to say something else.
Mm-hmm. So the challenge, I guess, is to be meaningful, right? To use a technology, but in a meaningful way. If you're transposing one and applying it in a different context, then how to achieve some kind of meaning through this transposition?
Yes, I hope so. Yes, I hope that's the purpose of the. Of this kind of this practice, of course, but mm-hmm. sometimes it depends of which kind of approach or which practice you're involved, you know. If you, I don't know, it depends on what kind of artist and or designer you are and how you deal with it. Some, I also accept that maybe sometimes artists, they just use it because it's fancy. Sometimes it happens.
Right.
Yeah, because it's just new and
because they can.
They can, yes, it's playful.
It's a frontier. It's not really land.
Yeah, exactly. You just explore things that were never explored before, and it is playful, and you just do it, and it's fun, and everyone like it because it's the first. Yeah. So depends.
And I really liked what you said in the lecture earlier about evolving a new visual language.
Mm.
I mean, you were telling us about your residency that you did at CERN in 2017 and using the big data, processing it somehow. I don't know how you did this. It's very mysterious to me. And then sort of working with software to generate a visual language.
Yes.
So this is what you mean by when you say that you have to, as an artist, as a visual artist, designer, we can talk about that later and how you feel about these definitions.
Yes, yes, of course.
That's also important.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you mean, I suppose, when you said, you know, come up with your own vocabulary, your own language. I mean, it's crucial to you. It seems to be crucial to you. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. About the Quantum Nuggets project I'm doing with during the residency at CERN, that is, as you really summarize very well, objects that are the result that are generated from a real data of collision particles to in the particle physics research, fundamental research. So what I realized is during the residency, because it has a big impact, I need to confess, to stay 3 months in the core of quantum physics research really influenced me. And I think it will for years now, or maybe for my whole life. So I realized that I was really...
trapped,
I would say, obsessed and really involved in trying to embody what is invisible, trying to find ways to shape what we cannot perceive, what we cannot see. And particle physics, it's the perfect topic because it's totally beyond us, beyond our imaginations. It's extreme phenomena of nature. It's phenomena from the beginning of everything, and trying to do your best to shape it is a crazy work in itself. And I'm really interested in trying really to embody this kind of in really fundamental phenomena, because they are the origin of everything. And I'm also involved in trying to shape new way of thinking. I think a designer, for me, the strength of design is to be able to give a form of philosophy. It's much more than making something functional that you can use every day. Of course, that's important. But if you also manage to shape, you know, a way of thinking, it's really powerful, and I find it really interesting, especially if you want to go deep, you know, in concepts, and to go deep, you know, and talking about like quantum physics, as I told. Yes, it's a hard work, and it's fascinating for me, and I'm really involved in this practice. Tried to design what is beyond, what is invisible, but still influencing us and existing, you know.
So what is it important to say designer instead of visual artist? What is the difference between these two terms as they apply to you?
That's a good point. I feel comfortable when people tell me that I'm an artist or tell me that I'm a designer. So I'm more like, as my work is a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
I am a hybrid creative person.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be disturbing, because usually it's more convenient and comfortable to just say that something is like that and this is another thing and it's like that. But you know, I really like to work in hybridation, in transdisciplinary practice, create a dialogue and bridge between environment and disciplines that are not used to communicate. Mm-hmm. Usually. So for me, it's not an issue. It's more an issue for the other, indeed, because they are not comfortable. They are a bit disturbed by this, you know, multi perception. I don't know how to call that, but it's totally hybrid and mixing profile. But I have a design background. I have a design background, and the methodology I use for my practice is a design methodology.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also really involved in matter, objects, creating products.
Mm-hmm.
I don't call the products sculpture, so that's meaningful. I would say that I'm not interesting in the core of my project are not to solve problem, or the problem that we usually use to solve when you're a designer,
mm-hmm.
or to just design for functionality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
as I said, it's beyond that. It's I use that in order to design thoughts, way of thinking, to design maybe other perception,
mm-hmm.
to design invisible phenomena, to design what we cannot touch in our everyday life.
Mm-hmm. So you're I love, sorry, but let's talk about self-presentation, because self-presentation is obviously very key to you. I mean, you're wearing an amazing dress. And I don't always comment on how our artists are dressed and meet the artist, but in your case, I have to. It's very carefully thought and beautifully brought together. You've got necklace, and you've got these two dots on the lower paupière of your eyes, lower lids, and you're quite a chameleon, because I was looking online, and each picture of yours, you look like a different person almost. So you play with your appearance, and I'm also sensitive to the fact that you present yourself on your website as several things, so product designer, media designer, but also as a drummer. So I wanted to ask you, you know, how does music interface with your work as a designer? That's one question. And the other question has to do with your identity as an apprentice shaman. If mm-hmm. you could talk about, you know, those two facets. Well, and also your physical appearance, and how, you know, you're conscious of that, and you play with that. So I have many questions for you. I'm just throwing at them at you at the same time.
That's a good question. Not really easy to answer, but I can try. So first, the influence of music in my practice. For the moment, I would say that I didn't really use this skill for my direct creative practice now.
Mm.
So it's more like subtle and something that maybe helped me to be more creative, because I can really deal with music, with composition, and I play drum. So it's give, you know, a new skills and new perception also of the world mm. around you. So I also start quite late to play drums.
Mm.
So, and this is what really for me it was like a little death and a little reborn, because I realized that, you know, nothing, even you start to get some age, nothing can be fixed, and you can really change, you know, deeply
mm.
if you accept, you know, to take some risk, if you accept to start something from the beginning, and if you accept to also realize that you learn things that are not use a full now, you know.
Mm.
So that's really, you know, a kind of, I think that is as my practice is really related to who I am. Mm-hmm. It's really important also to be aware of, about, you know, who you are, what you're doing, why you start music now, how it's changed your mind, you know.
Mm.
So physically, you know, when you start to train new muscles, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's totally disturbing, because you're used for 30 years, you know, to behave in a way and to use your body
mm.
in like you used to be to use it before mm. and from one day, and you start to use your body totally differently, and you connect, you know, mm. things in your brain mm. It's new, totally mm. new. So you become another person suddenly
mm.
and also, you know, it's changed the way I my perception, and it's changed the way my eyes change to focus the same way when I start to practice drums
mm.
and also my ears also. So it's totally, you know, a change, you know, my all my stance. I mm-hmm. work differently
mm-hmm.
and it really helped me, you know, in an indirect way to my practice,
mm.
to my creative practice,
mm-hmm.
because I was more efficient. I understand more what myself, my body, and how I worked, and what things interest me
mm.
deeply. So this is how, you know, music and rhythm drum, you know, help me in my practice
mm-hmm.
for now. And about shaman, it's related also with music. Because, you know, I knew that I can easily change my state of mind. I have altered state of mind
mm-hmm.
and started to travel, as we say, in older realities, we mm-hmm. can say. So and I realized that I can control it with drum.
Mm-hmm.
So by the beat,
mm-hmm.
so it's. I think that I had this capacity, this skill before, but I didn't really, you know, anything around us is encourage us to have such practice altered consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, natural altered consciousness. So before I did it with dance, with movement,
mm-hmm.
and now I do this with the drum, and also it's also related to reactivate a link between us and nature.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's very important to to create or emphasize, highlight a dialogue between human beings and natural environment because of ecological perspective. We know that we are in Anthropocene environment.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we are a deep impact of our environment, natural environment. And I, in this practice of shamanism, I can work to create a link with us and nature, because it is what did shaman since the beginning of the humankind.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm doing, you know, in my practice, in a way. That's why, you know, I'm using science, but it's fundamental science. That's why, you know, I relate it to nature and have an experience about natural phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
It's to link us with the beauty, with phenomena of nature, and have conscious of what is nature, and that is something living. It's not a thing that we can use.
Mm-hmm.
And the practice of shamanism is the same, but it's not by creation. It's a creation, but it's not a practice. It's not like artistic practice. It's by altered consciousness. It's by other exercise. It's another level in a way. Mm. It's another method. You can say that it's trans technique. It's a trans technique,
mm.
But it's not. It's just a method. It's carry meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I think the meaning is that we always consider people from the ancient civilization are also the people that we call primitive society, not serious because they don't have science, they don't have technology, blah blah blah. But I think that we need now their wisdom,
mm-hmm.
because this is part of our heritage, because mm-hmm. this is what makes us human beings. And if we don't take care, if we don't consider, you know, this wisdom, this practice as at the same level that we consider science,
mm.
I think that we can maybe be lost, mm. because it's a way also to reconnect us to our own nature. Because when you accept to take the risk to be in an alternate consciousness, you take also sometimes, as usually when you're a shaman, you have the skills, so it's not so dangerous, but you take risks. Sometimes you can really, you know, have a totally strange and deep experience.
Mm.
And this is quite, I'm not going to go deep in this because after it's too, I would say this is too subjective, mm. and I'm not going to lose you in that. But I hope you understand, you know, the link between shamanism and my artistic practice,
mm.
and the way that they are linked to the same message. We need to reactivate our link since ancient time to nature. We need to go back and have a look of old wisdom. Maybe we will find key to face our global changes.
Mm. What's maybe a little bit difficult the link between your practice and shamanism is difficult to see because it's not literal,
mm.
and it's mediated by technology. So that's what's intriguing about it. But on a metaphorical level, there's definitely a link, right? It's easy to see the link.
Yeah, actually, during the talk, I didn't really go deep in this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And also because this is, you know, how my practice go beyond
mm-hmm.
now. But now I'm involved in a research project mm-hmm. with La Manufacture in the School of Theatre of Lausanne
mm-hmm.
in collaboration with Benoît Renaudin and Isis Famille. Benoît Renaudin is a journalist and media designer, and Isis Famille is a theatre director.
Mm.
So in this research, we are making we try to put design and theater at the same platform, create mm-hmm. dialogue,
mm.
and try to understand how theater is enriched by design, and at the reverse, how design is enriched by theater. And the essence of this research is how we can change our way of thinking as an anthropocentric
mm-hmm.
being to a non-anthropocentric being. So in this project, I really go literally in this shaman practice, because there is in this performance, because for theater it's performance, mm-hmm. We can really explore this purpose or this environment of how we can change, how we can give, how we can think differently, how we can change, be other beings without really be human beings. How we can see through the eyes of an animal without, you know, having feeling superior.
Mm-hmm.
Just do the experience of an animal, of being a wolf, of being a fly, of being a dog, you know. And we are working with ethnologist text and specialists like Viveros de Castro, who told that shaman, they are like diplomats. They work hardly to travel to different dimensions in order to keep relation balance between human, nature, and animals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting mm-hmm. to think that shaman they are working for diplomacy.
Mm.
They are diplomats. Their work is through, you know, art and consciousness to really work on to keep a balance between all the living on the planet,
mm-hmm.
on the environment that they are living. That's interesting. And so in this environment, we are working, you know, on design theater with this, you know, background of how we can experience our environment through the eyes of another being, mm-hmm. a non-human being.
Mm.
And shamanism is a very good a set for us now, because it really helps us to explore this idea.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, that makes a lot more sense. I'm very curious to see this. Is it going to be a performance that will be staged for the public, or?
Yes. That's the start of the first the point of the project. That's now is mm-hmm. to we the three of us we that we discussed together for months now. Mm. In order, you know, to really have the same references and to understand each other, because, you know, we are from different disciplines, and we need, you know, to be coherent mm-hmm. together in this research.
Right.
So we start to first have a really deep dialogue, and now it's the start to create to produce and to create a methodology about this research,
mm.
and I would say that now my purpose is to, so the Isis from she asked me to, that she wants me to propose and to produce something from the design field, as I'm from the design field for the theater. She said, okay, now propose something, do something, and we will, you know, interact with what you propose. So I propose to build a relation in the city with the crows. I will find ways to communicate with them and trying to see our city through the eyes of the crows without trying to translate it, without any purpose of testing their intelligence and making scientific research. I just want, you know, to meet another being at the city, and it would be the crows.
My brother would like that. He loves crows. He even bought himself a big sculpture of a crow when he was, you know, maybe a teenager, and he put it on the balcony outside his room. It's quite terrifying. Sometimes you would forget it was there, so you walked by the window and you went, oh my god, what's that? Crows are very fascinating.
They are fascinating, yeah. That's true. So that's the beginning. So that's interesting, because we are also using scientific knowledge. We will also we based our research on, as I said, on shamanism, also with a new philosophical approach, such as Baptiste Morisot. He's a French philosopher, and he wrote a book about diplomacy with the wolf. He said that we should have, he I don't know exactly how to explain it, but for him it's very important. He took like a really an example, really concrete example, the introduction of the wolf in French part, and maybe in the Pyrenees, and what it creates, and what does it mean, and how you can really create a diplomacy with the wolf, and how you can really deal, we can collaborate. Yeah, how human beings can start to collaborate with animals.
Not just coexist, but collaborate.
Yes, coexist, also coexist without, you know, any super, respecting, you know, the territory of every beings, you know. Through this example, so he's really like developing a new philosophical concept around, you know, this exercise. So we have many inputs, like from, you know, science, philosophy, shamanism, and we are researching in this, you know, sphere.
It's very interesting. Do you have any advice for young artists or designers today?
I think that I advise younger designers and artists to believe in their work, to really try to understand the core of their practice, what they are doing, that what is their creative nature. It will be helpful, you know, for them to go deep and really, you know, make it to grow this practice. And also I would advise them to stay stubborn. Yeah, even if, you know, sometimes people say that what they are doing is not interesting, or it's not enough good, I advise them to really believe in their practice, you know, and really stay stubborn and just, you know,
determined
in the way. Very important, the determination. Because if you're not determined, you will give up. And that's what is, you know, sometimes it's a pity, you know, when you give up, because, you know, you didn't expect that to receive such outputs from the outside, because you're not, people don't understand your work, because you're in the process, or you're in a young the beginning of your practice, so it's not, you know, it's like a fruit, it's not ready now, but it's in process. And people, you know, they don't care about, you know, time, they just want it now, and they realize that it's not, you're not, you know, now you're not good now for them, so it's finished, you know, and they just keep, you know, following. And but they really still also know very well themselves, who they are, you know. I think that honesty also is a good advice. The artists shouldn't try to do something that people want, for example, because they will have, you know, like a bad return. Because if they are, you know, working for trend or just want to follow something that is not coming from themselves, I don't think that it would be a good for the future of their
not sustainable somehow.
So not sustainable. It would be really, you know, short, because when you're honest and you're really involved in your own practice, you know, in one day you can really. It is more, you know, sustainable, and people, you can really also talk more about it, and I think that is more strong also, and the people's, you know, they feel it.
Thank you for your generous answers. It's been really nice speaking with you.
Thank you. I hope I didn't lose you sometimes, because sometimes I lose myself. I need to confess.
It happens to all of us.